a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Back at the races, about 15 minutes into hour two, after visits with Amy Cook from the Texas Racing Commission and Scott Shapiro, and now in what we just agreed, as Dave Grenning and I were talking off air, is an unprecedented appearance. 15 years I've been hosting this, and the first time you've heard Dave Grenning in January on At the Races. Well, at least I'm not wishing you Happy New Year in March.
Right. No, we've always, I think the first question I always ask you when we have our first conversation of a calendar year is, it has the statute of limitations passed on wishing you a Happy New Year? And now we can actually say no, because it's only 6 days in. I feel like D.D. Gregorius filling in, taking over for the captain, Derek Jeter, in this spot.
Well, and we agreed that, this is the domino effect. Jay Pribman's retirement has created just havoc. It's not as bad as what's going on with the speaker's race in Washington, but it's created chaos in the media landscape, Dave.
I actually heard his name may come up today as a since he's retired from, since he's got really nothing else to do, he might be nominated for Speaker of the House. It's just a rumor I'm hearing from the folks. The politicians in California may nominate him to to take over that gig.
Well, he's certainly somebody that can bang a gavel. He's banged it on my head enough times over the years.
Absolutely.
Well, we will get. I was threatening a priv appearance. Jay's going to wait until after the finalists are announced on Saturday, tomorrow morning, 11:30, on your favorite FanDuel TV station. And Dave, you and I have no such compunction. We're happy to reveal and argue about Eclipse votes. Were there any shockers on your ballot?
I don't think so. I don't think so. We'll go right to the heart of one of the hearts of the matter. The hardest category the category I wrestled with the most actually turned out to be trainer.
Yeah.
I really thought it was a very difficult decision between Chad Brown and Todd Fletcher. And ultimately, I guess I landed with Todd, ultimately believing that he will have three Eclipse champions when it's all said and done. And that nugget, I think, sort of tilted me over the wire, you know, by a half a nose. I mean, I just thought it was really, really that close. I know Chad, led in probably every category overall, but narrowly, you know, 18 grade one wins to 17, I think it was. I don't know, 400,000, half million in earnings. I think the biggest gap he had was graded stakes wins. I believe it was 15, and I think and wins, I believe it was like 20, but overall. But I think that champion total, I think, was the one that just, you know, won the Bob for me.
I had the exact same scenario, and that includes me having voted for Jack Christopher as sprinter, who's not going to win, from everything I can tell. I would have had three champions for Chad, but he also, you know, he had Blazing Sevens is going to be a finalist, you would think. I voted for Search Results, who may not be a dirt female finalist. Regal Gloria in Italian. You made a fascinating case when we talked during the holiday about Bleecker Street, which I thought, you know, was a horse that was completely obfuscated by the time we got to December 31st.
Yeah, I mean, her first half of the year, if that had happened in the second half of the year, I think she would have gotten more conversations. Obviously, I don't know if she's in there or not, and I don't think I did land on her in the top three. But she did have a campaign the first half of the year that was very solid and will be overlooked. And again, if it happened, it's always, you know, that phraseology in like football, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. In racing, it's sort of not, you know, when it's not how many you win, it's when you win them. And I think, you know, the fact that she was basically done by July, middle, you know, the Diana, I believe, was her last start, you know, put her in the, you know, out of sight, out of mind category.
Beside Todd and Chad in trainer, how about the turf category, male and female? What'd you do?
The male turf horse, I did wind up putting Modern Games on top.
I think he's going to win. You know, yeah.
Two grade ones against olders in North America. Granted, one was in Canada, but it's North America and it counts. A couple of horses that, or one horse that I did not hear mentioned. And I know I didn't see everybody's, and I don't want to comment on everybody's, but I just glancing at other people's ballots and maybe I missed it. One horse that I didn't see get much or if any love was Count Again from California.
Yeah.
Did win two grade ones.
Yep.
Another horse that, you know, out of sight, out of mind type of thing, but did win two grade ones out there, and I thought was worthy of an inclusion and was included on my ballot. And then Casa Creed was my third horse. And I think I've heard you say this before and others too, if there are other I tend to shy away from the one-hit wonders, like the Euros that come over and just give you that one race in the Breeders' Cup, and that's all they've done. To me, you know, it is a North American award, and I tried to, if given a alternative that I feel viable voting for, I tend to shy away from, like, a Rebel's Romance, for example. I don't know where that horse will fit in. Maybe he'll win. I don't know. But I just didn't, like, I didn't land there. So then my third horse in that category was Casa Creed for the two great ones that he had. You know, look, there are some horses. Bill Mott has two horses that despise Keeneland. Casa Creed on the turf and Frank's Rocket on the dirt. And if you ever, if he ever brings those two horses again to Keeneland, he might have to be taken out of the Hall of Fame.
That's a good line.
Yes, it's that dramatic. It's that dramatic. We're just going to go right to the chase.
That's a good line. I said that. In fact, I think I said that yesterday to Tom Law, that if the Breeders' Cup had been on the West Coast this year, there's reason to believe that Casa could have gone out and competed in one of the, you know, the mile grade ones out there, perhaps, or
even the sprint what do they do with the sprint out there now? There's no more hill.
The hill is back in play, but they're not using the hill next year for the turf sprint in the Breeders' Cup. They're gonna do a 5 furlong configuration.
I see. That's another thing that people don't take into consideration when they put all this weight on the Breeders' Cup, is how different it is from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Venue to venue, it's not the same. You know, some of these races aren't the same races, distances and stuff. So, you know, I know people don't necessarily factor that in, but it is a fact that, you know, it's, you know, Churchill Downs, a Breeders' Cup miles, one turn mile, Keeneland, it's two turns. It's just different. Several of these races are different from venue to venue.
Well, the funniest thing about the dirt mile you bring up is that, you know, when conceived, the idea was that, oh, we'll have a one turn mile like the Met Mile, and it's been run one turn, I think, twice. The best was the first year, when Corinthian won at Monmouth, wasn't it like a mile and 40 yards or a mile and 70?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's rare. That's another. The dirt mile's not always been a dirt mile. It's been, it's been a big ass dirt mile, mile and 70 yard type of race. And I don't think the dirt mile's been around a while, but it hasn't been around long enough to be run at Belmont Park.
Exactly right. Where at some point it feels like that is going to happen. What'd you do? Let's find another fun category. What'd you do with the sprinters, Dave?
I went to Jackie's Warrior in the end because it's a year end award. It's award that honors the whole year, and I thought his races in the early part of the spring and summer were championship performance like races. He carried weight, he ran fast. I know that Vanderbilt, he didn't necessarily beat a stellar group, but I thought he did enough. The Churchill Downs I thought was solid. His race in Oakland was really good. So I Elite Power, I can't get away from the fact, I know the Vosburgh was listed as a grade two, but this particular year, it wasn't a grade two to me. It was a poor race. I know Drafted was in there and he did come back and win a listed stake later. It had a good year, but the rest of the field was just hungry. And, I would be basing it off of like one performance. And I thought Jackie's Warrior had more than one performance. It's kind of a hold your nose a little bit to a degree because you would have liked to have seen him finish off the year better than he did. But again, it's not, you know, if we're just basing everything on Breeders' Cup and not factoring in the rest of the year, then why don't we just fast forward to the Breeders' Cup? I went back to Jackie.
What about the girls?
That was easy. Good Night Olive deserved.
Yeah.
She was the top sprinter. You know, she gave you a terrific performance in the Ballerina against a quality field. If you look through that field, that was a good field. And then she beat everybody she needed to beat and did it the right way in the Philly Immersed Sprint.
Well, how about the glamour division, the Epicenter or Taba for you?
I went with Epicenter. I just thought his body of work over the year was solid enough. His Travers was as good as any race run by a three-year-old, I thought, this year. He was, and Jim Danny was a small field, but he beat it. At least one classic winner and a couple of other graded stakes and grade one winners in Zandon in there. It was a small field, yeah, but he was really good. And look, yeah, he was second in the Kentucky Derby, and I've heard this on your show before, you can make an argument that he ran the best race. Even if you won't want to go there, he ran a terrific race in both that one and the Preakness. Yes, he got beat, but he did. To get to the classics, he won a few races and was solid. And then post classics, he came back and gave you two really good performances at Saratoga. And it's unfortunate that what happened in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and in a sick sort of twisted way, him not completing the race may actually have been better than him running fifth, beating 17 lengths. In terms of this, exclusively looking at this award, if he had finished the race and was, beat a long way, versus, it's a non-race really for him there. With Taba, I get the three grade ones. I get it. I didn't think the California horses this year were very strong. So the fact that he won the San Diego Derby, I know it was heralded by the fact that he went from 1/6 furlong race to a 1/8 race, and it was good. I respect it. But in hindsight, it wasn't a great race, great field. And then I've never known the Malibu to be a championship defining race other than the fact that it's a grade one. I get it. But again, another race that just, and I did not vote. I didn't vote until Monday. So I didn't allow that race to, be run and factor everything in. But I just thought overall, comparing the bodies of work, I just thought Epicenter was running in the races that define these types of awards and competed well enough to get the vote.
No, I exact same rationale. Anything clever or unusual about owner and breeder and jockey?
No. When you go through the list of horse grade one winners and you keep, Godolphin, and then they owned and bred them. I mean, it's, they won a lot of races this year. And I guess I look at it as, if they weren't, if they didn't have the type of, it's hard not to vote for them, I guess is what, given the magnitude of the horses they sent out, the races that they won. And they bred all these horses, so I just got to give a tip of the hat to the year that they had, and I did. So I do think they'll repeat as owner and breeder. What was the other one? Jockey said, I thought Irad Ortiz had a sensational year, and while I would like to see him be less controversial and a little cleaner, I can't argue with the results.
What'd you do with Apprentice?
I homered it up. I was a homer.
All right. Gomez.
I went with Jose Gomez. Primarily, I got to watch him most days. I thought he competed at a high level against the best colony there was. And, while he didn't necessarily flourish, in say Saratoga or whatever, he did. I just gave him bonus points to get that award. He probably won't get it. I understand the other guys have built up numbers. And I will say this, I know people go crazy. Some people go crazy. It's a category that I typically abstain from because I don't necessarily think it's a fair category in terms of some jocks have their apprenticeship for part of the year. Some of them have it for all the year. And I also I don't look at it as like a rookie of the year award type of thing because,
right.
With the weight allowance, rookies of the year in baseball, they don't get five balls and four strikes. They play by the same, level. So it's not an award I typically actually vote on. But this year, this jock here, I thought, did quite well. And it's interesting. He's, I think his apprenticeship runs out on the 25th of January. I believe John DeSilva at Parks had looked that up or found that out and tweeted it out. But he's in, I believe, both stakes races this weekend, here in New York. And that's some confidence for trainer. And you don't get the weight allowance in those stakes.
Right.
So it's confidence, in trainers. I think it's a respect that he earned. Part of it is we are a little low on the high end jocks, but it's also a respect factor when, you can, as an apprentice, have the confidence of a trainer, an owner, to be named on a horse in a stakes race where you do not get the weight allowance.
Well, and Linda Rice using him on Valenzen Day in the Jerome, and Uriah St. Louis employing him. Excuse me.
And Pat Reynolds using him on Reggae Music Man in Sunday's Say Florida Sandy, which is only a 5-horse field. So we had we have more than 5 journeymen that are
yeah,
solid race, but he. He says that, he gets along with them well, and he's been productive. So I think, I think when the horsemen start, acknowledging that what they see is worthy of that, then, I think at least I could do is do that as well.
Fair enough. And then finally, your 1-2-3 on the horse of the year, top of the chart.
Yeah, look, Flightline, I think, is a no-brainer for one. I gave Life is Good the nod for 2, and I wrestled with the 3rd, and I guess I wound up, writing in Malafat, sort of honoring it. This one might be reaching a little bit in terms of I probably shouldn't factor this in, but, 3-year-old filly to come back and repeat his 4-year-old filly, that's pretty heady stuff. That doesn't happen a lot. I think you got to be pretty special to do that.
Yeah.
And I think, she raised her game at 4. Her losses to me this year were all within reason. She probably needed, she got beaten nostril by Clairiere in the fifths. They put the blinkers on. She didn't react well at Saratoga on a very hot day and then validated that excuse by, that was offered by Pletcher, came back with, a personal ensign and a Breeders' Cup wins that were just, personal ensign was dominant. The Breeders' Cup was gutty. And I was really hoping, I know against hope, that we'd see her this year as well, but not happening. But again, come back at 4 and elevate your game and be championship like that, be championship caliber, I thought was big.
Excellent. Well done. Dave Granig, everybody, on the Eclipse ballot front. The finalists will be named tomorrow at 11:30. Let's talk about those 2 stakes. And the 3-year-old trail kicks off in New York with the Jerome, the 1 mile. And kind of an interesting mix in here, led by Arctic Arrogance. And I took a shine right away to Andiamo a Firenze when that one came, the Firenze Fire sibling. What do we say about this group?
I think it's a group that you'll see in one turn races mostly through the year. I don't necessarily think this is, I know they provide derby points to the winner, the top 5 finishers, and someone will get excited for a few, for a month or so. But I think ultimately these are horses that will flourish. Some of them in New York bred company. There are 4 New York breds in the race and some, likely in the one turn 7/8 to a mile race. I went with a little bit of a stranger in here from a, not necessarily odds. I see David has him at 4-1, but Lugan Knight for Michael McCarthy, son of Golden Sense. He's 1-3. He was 3rd in an allowance race on that 2-year-old showcase program at Churchill Downs on the 26th. And the winner was Victory Formation, who came back and won, Sunday's Smarty Jones nicely, to remain undefeated in 3 starts. The runner up, was his name. Just flew out of my head, but was 2nd, beat the head in a stakes race, also at Oaklawn on December 31st. So I thought the race was a little, the performance third place finish might look a little bit better than just on paper. I watched the race, and Michael McCarthy sort of confirmed what I kind of saw as well, that the horse kind of ran in spots. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't giving you everything all the time throughout the six furlongs. It was a quick race, 109 and 2. So I'll give him a shot, as a potential stalker, where, you know, I think there is some, you know, potential for a little bit of a pace scenario here. You got Narcisco Deli is going to go. Arctic Arrogance may go. Andiamo Firenze. These horses are probably going to be out there going at a good pace. I don't want to take too short of a price on Arctic Arrogance. I believe he ran a terrific race in the Remsen. Remsen, I didn't think was very strong. WNL is a nice horse and got the win, and they were 11 lengths clear of the rest of the field. I think Arctic Arrogance, when it's all said and done, will be that one turn type of horse that will be showing up in, and maybe, you know, maybe two turns against the New York Reds. But I don't think we're going to be coming out of here anointing anyone in the first Saturday night.
There's an oddity, a slight oddity. Here's a field of eight, and only Lugan Knight and Andiamo are coming out of races on a fast track. Some of the performances that people are going to evaluate, notably wins, all came on less than fast tracks. It's kind of funny. General Banker in the sealed mud in that Stallion Series race, and Arctic in the Remsen as well. Valenzen Day, kind of interesting that horse wasn't protected by Rudy Rodriguez and company, and got scooped up for 50. Circling the Drain, same thing on a good track, dipped in for maiden 45, and even Neutral Network caught a muddy track in that 7/8 debut win against State Breds. It's an interesting assortment as we start the 3-year-old trail. A lot of times, Dave, when a race like the Queens County is scuttled and has to be postponed, the field doesn't reassemble as robustly. That was not the case. We've got a really just as good a group this week as we would have had last week.
Yeah, it's a fun race. Nine of the 11 originally entered back, and then while Butch Reed decided to keep riding with Biden at home, and he won the stake Wednesday at Parks, he has a good substitute in Eloquist, who was riding a 3-race win streak, including a victory here in the Discovery, narrowly as it was, but it was a good enough effort. So he's here, and then Lynn Cash decided, well, he didn't bring Southern District back, but Plot the Dots got a nice prep last Saturday in the Robert Manfuso, so we'll wheel him back in a week, as Norm Cash is wont to do with Plot the Dots. It's solid, you know, like you said, the field stayed intact, and I still think the two protagonists are the ones that were in the race last week, being Law Professor and Unbridled Bomber. Law Professor coming out of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, with a race that was okay, wasn't terrible, wasn't great, but the race that everyone's going to point to, including myself, that makes him the favorite in here is the race he ran against Life Is Good in the Woodward, which is a 2-turn mile and 8th race at Aqueduct, as is Queens County, and I just thought that race was, I watched it again, and at the quarter pole, if I was those connections, I was getting a little excited if I was them. He was pretty, he was right there. And then, obviously Life Is Good outclassed them to the wire, but, there's no Life Is Good in here. So I think he's going to be, he's definitely the one to beat, and he's the one I like. Unbridled Bomber, who was an interesting horse last year. He won a nice maiden race at Belmont in the fall of 21, and then he just never followed it up. He was racing around one turn, and he wants two turns. And I just think maturity and distance sort of helped this horse achieve a certain level of talent. He's an interesting number. He's an interesting horse in this race to see if he can take his game even to another level. But those two are the main ones for me. I know they're probably the favorites. excuse me. What else? And Naval Aviator actually ran a very good race when he was third in the Discovery. I just don't know if that was his best or if he can give you, you know, he ran a couple of Eastern races in the summer, one at Churchill, one at Saratoga for Joe Sharp. He switched barns since then, but, you know, he'll be a price again. And, you know, I think he might show up on a trifecta ticket for me.
I'm glad you mentioned Plot the Dots, who's going to be 12-1. That race, two back at Laurel, that race kind of fits pretty well in here.
Yeah, so he's got some good races around two turns. Now, you know, the one thing that you brought up earlier, which was a good point on the three-year-old races, the Jerome, that a lot of those horses have good performances on a wet track. I don't know what this track's going to be like tomorrow. I'm sitting in my car outside Akron right now. It's spitting rain a little bit. I'm assuming that we're still wet. The Belmont training track was, was wet. It was more like they actually harrowed it by 9:30, and it was on the good side. But I got to think we got plenty of moisture in here, and I don't necessarily know that we have drying conditions. So I think there'll definitely be moisture in that track tomorrow, and it'll probably be one of those deep, heavy type of tracks that you're going to need to be pretty fit to run over. And look, no one has horses more fit than Norm Cash, who this horse, Plot the Dots, ran 15 times last year, and just ran last week. So fitness wise won't be an issue for that horse.
Dave Grenig, everybody, DRF Grenig, nice card tomorrow with the two stakes. The nightcap is a good allowance going 7/8. The pick five starts, the late pick five starts with a maiden filly group where I think Chad is probably going to have one of the favorites, that Senior Prank out of Thundering Sky. I also noticed there was somebody interesting in this group, trying my heart out, Jose Cameo. Not known as a guy that wins first out, but trying my heart out of Miss Hollywood, out of the wonderful Hollywood Story family, and it looks like a good group. Tony Dutrow, who is pretty adept with first-time starters, and the luckiest human being on the planet, Harold Lerner, who may win this $900 million mega. if you could bet on people winning lottos, I'll bet on Harold.
I know I won't be betting on me, but I can see Harold scooping up another prize.
I love it. Dave, this was great. What a fabulous start to the year. And Dave, by being the new 10 o'clock guest, receives bagels from the bagel from the bagel joint he visits anyway in Merrick.
There you go.
And all the pizza. That's a great question. Are we going to be doing an over under on slices for you or Welsh now with Priv retired?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm going to say no. I don't think I get there as much as Jay does. And but maybe we'll get Jay. Maybe Jay will make an appearance anyway, and we can we'll get him an honorary appearance. Maybe we'll have to order one and send it to him, FedEx, and have him FaceTime us as he scarfs down a slice of pizza.
That's a good idea. He'll give that a thumbs up. I guarantee. Dave, thanks so much. Happy, healthy to you and Beth and the kids, and I will see you soon. You're talking about that wet track over in the training track. We're trying to get, we got our filly almost ready to debut, Countess Constance, and Gary's been putting off this next work day after day with the track being just kind of a mess. So
just curious, can I ask you a quick question? I don't know if he's a pony track type of guy. Has he done any galloping or jogging on the pony track, the new synthetic pony track?
That's a great, you know what? I'm glad you asked that. I'll ask him about the pony, if he's done anything yet. That's a good question. I'll find out. Thank you. Always an interesting new topic that crops up, but I'm hoping before my spring travel gets going that I get to come for her debut. We're looking forward to getting her going. So I will see you sooner, hopefully, than later.
Sounds good.
Dave Grenick. Thanks, buddy. Dave Grenick, folks. And got a lot in there. That was great. Let me get Scully in here before the 11 o'clock hour strikes, because he's always got to cut out by 11. So we'll get to Scully and then take the top of the hour break, come back. We've got Hammer and Mike Welsh. I want to get Rich Eng in and Popo as well for hour three. So plenty yet ahead. And let's get to James. Another conversation we haven't we've missed, right? Since well before the holiday, because he was off, wasn't he? Or no, I guess he came back. I guess he came back for the closing bell, right? James, you came back for the last show of the year, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I did. And good morning to you, Steve. Always a pleasure to be on, and Happy New Year.
Happy, healthy to you and Gigi. And I'm curious, any thoughts, anything that caught your interest over the last couple of weeks?
Well, you know, the first Kentucky Derby qualifier of the year was last Sunday at Oaklawn. We got 26 remaining over the next 3.5 months. And, you know, Victory Formation, I thought visually looked really good. You know, he did what was necessary. I like the addition of Pratt. You know, Pratt has a win, a second, and 2/3 from 5 Kentucky Derby starts. That guy rides well at Churchill on Derby Day. And he, and the colt, you know, didn't appear to be facing much in terms of company, but he did it the right way. Now, the race didn't come back very fast, but it's still early in the season, and competition will get stiffer, but I thought it was a promising performance, and he looks like he has some upside for Brad Cox, you head into the new year, it looks like Brad Cox, he has a whole bunch of horses that are very promising. He's got a few stakes winners off with Victory Formation and Jace's Road and Instant Coffee. And then he has some nice last out maiden winners and allowance types that are coming along. And really, Todd Pletcher really in the same boat, where he's going to have the 2-year-old champion Forte. And he has a number of intriguing last out maiden winners. So both those stables look pretty well situated with 3-year-olds entering 2023. As far as last week's racing too, I'll also mention I like the comeback performance by Skippy Longstocken. Looked like Simplification in the Harlan's Holiday. Looked like Simplification was going to take a run at him off the turn, and he turned him. He had another gear left. I thought that race came back fast. And I thought it was a good comeback. You know, I liked his third in the Belmont. I liked his win in the West Virginia Derby. If he had run a step in the Pennsylvania Derby, I'd have some concerns. But I'm just drawing a line through that effort. And I think he could be pretty good at 4. So I look at that Pegasus field and the probables in there. And Proxy, obviously, if he shows up in there, he'll take some beating, I think. But I think Skippy Longstocken has a shot. You know, Sappy Joseph has 3 for that race, potential starters. And I like him the best of the group.
I'm glad you brought him up. We haven't had a chance to talk about that. I was going to bring it up with Mike Welch in a little bit. So, nice. All right. In terms of the Kentucky Derby report?
Yes, I did the first Kentucky Derby report, basically posted it this morning. And just, you know, gave some thoughts on looked at a couple of those storylines coming in the year, talked about like waiting for horses like Extra Anejo and Loggins to return to training, because there are a couple of 3-year-olds of interest. You know, obviously, you know, I don't have, you know, with the Bob Baffert trained horses, I don't have a feel what's going to happen with them, but they're not eligible for the new year. I mean, aren't eligible to earn points for the Derby. And then I also talked about 4K Victory Formation and went over about 20 3-year-olds of interest that, you know, heading into 2023. So, yeah, I'm going to be doing a Kentucky Derby report each week moving forward, Steve.
Tell everybody where to find it, too. I mean,
that's at the Twin Spires Edge, twinspires.com/edge, the new site there, twinspires.com.
Very good. I appreciate it. All right, let's get some ideas about the weekend. Where are we headed?
All right, I'll start at Aqueduct, go over some thoughts on the latter part of the card. I'm going to just start first off with race number 7. I know it's a $25,000 claimer,
yeah.
But that race has a bunch of, you know, has like 3 horses. Uno, It's Mandatory, A Musical Heart. that should, you know, guarantee a good setup. And I like how number nine, Grumps Little Tots, is starting to, it looks like he's starting to turn things around for Baker. I thought that, you know, he was claimed last year in his finale, came back this summer, ran okay against Lesser, sort of went off form a little bit or didn't run very well. But I thought that was a good second last time on a muddy track. Would appreciate a track with any moisture on it. And at 10 to 1 on the morning line, I think he has a good shot to run well in there. So I wanted to mention number nine, Grumps Little Tots, in race seven.
Circling back, it looks like, to his good races. And I'll give you a horse that's spotty. And he did have a claim voided on him in October, but he's come back and had four works. So, you know, he obviously doesn't appear to have any issues. But veteran Dust Devil on the outside for Maya Engelhart uses Madison Oliver, the 10-pound bug, and going to get, as you mentioned, the pace to chase. 5 to 1, Dust Devil, the 12, I'm going to certainly include, I know.
All right, yeah. And then I'll turn to race eight, the Jerome. That's a race where, you know, you got definitely a couple of New York bred contenders. I think three of them. Arctic Arrogance, who's going to be the favorite off the runner-up in the Remsen. Neural Network, who was a convincing first-out maiden winner for Chad Brown. And Andiamo Ferenz, who... I really liked his win in the funny side on a wet track at Saratoga. I thought, you know, I mean, he ran fourth in the Champagne. That wasn't a terrible effort considering the class hike. And then last time, you know, the Acoustic Avenue is a pretty solid rival. So I think he's going to be involved in the pace, and I think there's going to be a good pace. I'm going on number four, Luga Knight. And the thing with this colt is I'm a little bit concerned. I think a lot of people like him, and he's not going to be the 4 to 1 price he's offering on the morning line. But I really liked his maiden win two starts back. If you haven't seen that race, I thought that was a heck of an effort. That kickback and sprints could be tough in Keeneland during the meet. He sat a pocket trip, took all this kickback. And then when he gets to the top of the stretch, I mean, he had to alter paths like repeatedly and still finished his full run. Last time, I just thought he caught two horses that were really good that day. Two Eagles River blew the start last Saturday in that sprint stake at Oaklawn, but still ran, I thought, a good head second to Frosted Departure. And obviously, Victory Formation won that race. So Luga Knight was coming at the end of that race. And while I don't think two-turn races are going to be in his future, his second dam is a champion sprinter, and you know he's got some speed in his pedigree. I think the one turn mile will be just fine for him. So I like Luga Knight in the Jerome.
Well, and Dave Grenig did as well.
Yeah, and then in the Queens County, the second of two stakes. That's a race where you know somebody's coming back from the Discovery, and those two ran Eloquist and. The runner-up that day ran 1-2 the whole way. You know, that I don't know. Maybe I think the track will play a little bit differently in this spot. Obviously, Law Professor is going to take some beating at 2-1. I think Unbridled Bomber, you know, will be their second, third choice. He appears to be coming on his last two races. But I do like Naval Aviator, and I am going to bet him in some exotics. I think he's going to hit the board at a price. He's 12-1. I thought that was a good third last time. I like the horse that ran fourth behind him, Winnet, in the last race today at Aqueduct.
Yep.
And I like Naval Aviator to hit the board. And if he pulls off a upset in here, I won't be shocked. So that's a horse of interest in Queens County for me.
That's the five, Naval Aviator. Nice, one of the invaders.
And then I'll give some quick thoughts on Gulfstream. You got a pair of stakes there tomorrow. The Dania Beach is the first of the two, a mile race. And that race obviously has a favorite in there in number Cairo Consort. It was an okay third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You also have a horse, Anna Karina, who's coming over. I thought she didn't face suspect company overseas and will likely be over bet. I like number 9, Erna on the. Oh, I'm in the wrong freaking race.
Yeah, it's the gingerbread. That's all right. That's all right. I was starting
Let's
to say.
Let's start with that.
That's fine.
Race number 9, the ginger breach. I'm so sorry. I talked about Cairo concert, but I like the 9 in there, Erna. And this is a filly for Cherie DeVoe. She comes from her first start at Aqueduct in late October. She ran a heck of a race on the front end that day, going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Obviously the filly that beat her, Liguria, came back and romped in the Jimmy Durante at Del Mar, and looks like a real promising turf 3-year-old filly for Chad Brown. I thought Erna came back last time. And, had a little bit of a rough trip, but still prevailed. Was a little bit like, all out to do it at the end. But that's still a good race, I thought, to move forward upon. I think she's going to sit a good trip in this race just off the lead with Luis Saez, and be ready to pounce turning for home. So I'm going to give her the edge. Curl and Philly in there. Number 9, Erna in the ginger brew.
All right. Saez and Cherie.
And then going back to the Dania Beach, that's the race where you've got number two Major Dude. He won the Pilgrim, exits the 9th in the race at in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. That race I thought had a bunch of speed in there, Steve, and I'm not too keen on that Suzak. He was in a race against that Anna Kareen, and then, wound up running in Maiden in Claiming Company. I like number 7, Worthington, in there for Mike Maker. I thought that was a really solid win on the Stars of the Tomorrow 2 program. He's moving forward at the right time. And, you're going to get a little bit of a value with him. I think 3-1 is very realistic, because I do think that Suzak's going to take a little money, and Major Dude will be the favorite.
Excellent. All right. Good job. Worthington on the outside, the 7.
And then I'll mention one other horse in race number 11. That's a maiden special weight race. And let me see here. Gosh. Oh, I'm sorry. In race number 10. In race number 10, I'll start with that real quick. I like playing against Papa Cap. Maybe that this colt will win, and when he wins, he'll turn things around for Mark Cassie. I'll use several horses in the multis here, but I like number 7, Picking Up Pennies. Not worried about the class rise, because his form is really improving. I like him wire to wire in race 10. And then race number 11 is a maiden special weight for 3-year-old fillies going 7.5 furlongs on the turf. I think that, I'm just going to use 2 horses in this race. Number 6, Mooncat, I think is eligible to improve upon her debut. She didn't have the cleanest trip and, finished full of run. Won't be surprised to see her step forward. But I'm also going to use this too. And I don't know what was going on with Justin's Legacy, early on in his career. He only sold for $28,000, and he's the son of Justify, who standing for like 150, or is standing now maybe for 150. And but this horse, shows up half mile bullet work. He's a half brother to a turf stakes winner, and I mean, this is just a really classy female family. So I think he's intriguing at 15 to 1 on the morning line, and I just wanted to mention him, Justin's Legacy.
Excellent. All right. So basically, you've handed up some ideas for the whole late pick 5, starting with the Dania Beach. Did you look at the 8th? Might as well give the 8th.
I looked at the 8th a little bit, but I was a little bit like, I think
nothing
the 7-5 the W is going to be tough to beat in there.
All right. There you go, Bobby DeBona.
Now, I do have a price for my last second Friday play. I'm going to turn to Aqueduct today in race number 9 and race number 8. I think the favorites in here are okay, but I like how number 9, Big Bean Christine, is coming into this race, comes in first off the claim today for Ray Handel. This is a filly that, obviously needed 14 starts to break her maiden. But once she, but I think the light bulb has gone on for her. I liked how she beat those claimers last time. I know she likes an off track, and I think she's got a good chance to run well. And, you know, this isn't the toughest entry level allowance for New York bred fillies you'll ever see. So number nine, Big Bean Christine at 10-1 on the morning line in race 8 at Aqueduct today.
There you go. Horse that wins. James, outstanding. Last second Friday push for James underscore Scully. 1-1-1, everybody. Twin Spires weekend preview continues after this. James, good luck. We'll talk next week.
All righty. Thank you, Steve.
James Scully. Boom. Takes us right to the top. Look at that. Look at that. 11 o'clock on the button. A rarity around these parts. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check in with Hammer, and we'll dive into the Santa Anita action, which includes the Open Company Sunday for three-year-olds, the Santa Inez and the Sham, but the Cal Cup tomorrow, and a full slate of California bred runners. After Hammer, we got a visit coming with Rich Ang. We got a hit with Papa. We'll see what Form to Win likes for the weekend. And Mike Welch. We'll go to Hallandale Beach. If you're going to Dania, what can I give you? Well, Dania, you know all the pushes in Dania. I love Dania. I continue to kick myself. I told Tina years ago that Dania was on the come, and that we should have bought something there. And it kills me that we didn't move on that. But you got, you got Jackson's, of course, the ice cream emporium. And across the parking lot, Grandpa's for breakfast. But also for breakfast, Bake Shop, a little tiny donut in kind of a place that also does nice breakfast sandwiches. Bake Shop. So there's some Dania Beach highlights. I like Dania. Very cool. Back after this. Well, and of course, Tropical Acres. That's not on Federal Highway, but love us some Tropical Acres. The second best key lime pie probably in South Florida. Right, Joe Stonecrab, pretty much. By the way, I didn't mention this. I'll say a thank you to the person that sent us Stonecrab for Christmas, which was an unbelievable gift. And they were, I've never seen Stonecrabs this size. I mean, these were, they were ridiculous. Tina was delighted. So, mustard sauce all over her face. Back after this, hour three at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts.